A reading from the book of Exodus, chapter 19, verses 1 through 9. On the third new moon, after the people of Israel had gone forth out of the land of Egypt, on that day they came into the wilderness of Sinai. And when they set out from Rephidim and came into the wilderness of Sinai, they encamped in the wilderness, and there Israel encamped before the mountain. And Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him out of the mountain, saying, "Thus you shall say to the house of Jacob, and tell the people of Israel, you have seen what I did to the Egyptians, and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my own possession among all peoples, for all the earth is mine, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel." So Moses came and called the elders of the people and set before them all these words which the Lord had commanded him. And all the people answered together and said, "All that the Lord has spoken, we will do." And Moses reported the words of the people to the Lord. And the Lord said to Moses, "Lo, I am coming to you in a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with you, and may also believe you forever." Then Moses told the words of the people to the Lord. Here ends the reading of God's word. May it be blessed to our use and to our understanding.
The responsive lesson is from Psalm 34, verses 1 through 8, which we'll find on page 769 of your hymnal. Please read responsively. I will bless the Lord at all times. God's praise shall continually be in my mouth.
My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and be glad.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt God's name together.
I sought the Lord who answered me and delivered me from all my fears.
Look to God and be radiant, so your faces shall never be ashamed.
The poor cried out, and the Lord heard, and saved them out of all their troubles.
The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear God and delivers them.
Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Happy are those who take refuge in God.
Hear now the Gospel of Matthew. From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and on the third day be raised. And Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, "God forbid, Lord, this shall not happen to you." But he turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me. You are not on the side of God, but of men." Then Jesus told his disciples, "If any man would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life shall lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his very soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his life? For the Son of Man is come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay every man for what he has done. Truly I say to you, there are some standing here who will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming into his kingdom." Church, say amen.
Amen.
you can do better than that. Let the church say amen again.
Amen.
Hallelujah is the praise of the day. Just briefly, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come to hear your sacred word. Open our hearts and our minds. Help us to hear you speak to each and every one of us represented here. And we ask, O God, that you might change a life on this day, change a heart and give courage. And God, I pray as the daughter of you, Almighty God of the universe, that you might grant me in this hour your Holy Spirit to speak to your people. Amen. It would appear that reading Exodus 19, verses 1 through 9, is like catching the end of a good movie. Now, in case you missed the movie, the plot goes like this. A man called Moses is called to a burning bush. He speaks to God. God speaks to him. God sends him to liberate people held hostages. The head of state where the people are held refuses to negotiate about their release. God applies pressure, sanctions, if you will, 10 of them. Pressure until the people are free. Then the head of state attempts to double-cross people and God. The head of state seeks to annihilate them. God opens a highway of escape. The people prevail. They continue their journey. God caters meals in the desert, meals of manna and quail, and they even get spring water without paying for it. And now it appears when we come to chapter 19, before we are caught up in the plot of this long story again, it looks as if the author is going to give us an opportunity to collect ourselves before we are forged into the next great adventure. But in this text, there is a drama. It is a drama of the heart. For God is about to court the liberated Israelites, and Moses is about to be the matchmaker. Though through Moses, God tells the people that they have been rescued and have been lifted out of pain and misery on eagle's wings. And now they must face the God of their deliverance. And this is what that God wants. God wants a new relationship, a sacred covenant. God calls them to be a kingdom of priests, a holy nation, a treasured possession. Now, in case you can't figure out what the excitement is about here, this major event is about the binding of human lives on earth to divine rule from heaven. For God is putting in place great expectations. These are not going to be just any little group of raggedy people running around the desert. They are going to be God's people, spiritual leaders of a nation. And God is expecting them to have a code of holiness. Translated in the 20th century, God wants them to have some ethics, some sense of morality, some sense of integrity. Quite a demand from a God that's been newly introduced. I'm sure people pondered whether or not they should take on this kind of intimate relationship. The elders were called, and as you know, whenever you get a bunch of elders together, there was lots of voting and lots of abstaining and lots of debate. But finally, as the people recalled the feeling of liberation versus oppression, the taste of good food in their mouths, as soon as they recalled the bond of love that God was offering to them, in one shattering moment, they declared, "We will do everything that the Lord has asked of us." Just one moment in time. The human and the divine desire fuse closer than that of fusion in the atom. Just one moment of time, God and a people come together. Oh, this is a precious and dramatic moment. For there is mutuality between the divine and the human community happening right here in front of our eyes. A covenantal trust is being established. A private promise is about to become a public witness. And the mystery of God, that mystery of God that is hidden behind a glass darkly, has been cleaned up. That mystery of God that is veiled from human eye has been pulled back. And people are seeing their God eye to eye. Have you ever looked into the eyes of God? Have you ever looked into the eyes of God? Do you have that kind of courage, the kind of courage it took for these people to say, "Yes, whatever you ask us to do, we will do. We will be your kingdom of priests. We will be your holy nation." A dramatic moment in this drama of the heart. Such moments are all too rare. All we have to do to recognize how rare they are is to have a conversation with Peter. If we could, we might realize that in the Matthewan text, Peter has just blown his moment. Peter is caught up in a time warp seconds after his moment of glory. He has just got finished calling Jesus the Christ, the Messiah, the Holy One of God. And Jesus has just got finished calling him the Rock. friend, leader, companion. And in the next moment, Peter turns to hear Jesus reveal more, and there he stands eye to eye with the Lord of all. Have to go to Jerusalem to suffer, to be killed, and on the third day be raised. No, Jesus, this is not going to happen to you. I forbid it. No, Jesus, this is not what I had in mind. No, Jesus, I've already set your appointment book. This is not going to happen to you. Peter has some great expectations of his own. For Peter wants the kind of Christ who will liberate the oppressed and the downtrodden with a sword and with a declaration. Peter does not want a suffering Christ, and surely not one who will die a shameful death. That's why Jesus' rebuke is so strong. Your expectations are of your own making. They are not of God's. I do not want to hear what you have to say. Get out of my face, Peter! Peter has missed his moment. Just for a second, Jesus, the revealed face of God, sought Peter as Yahweh had sought the former Israelite slaves. Jesus was looking for a sacred covenant in that moment. An impulsive Peter, without pausing to consider the meaning of this sacred trust, falters and refuses to hear, and refuses to meet his God through Christ eye to eye. This is a drama of the heart, because Jesus has room enough to, even in his anger with Peter, to say, now if you want to be my disciple, if you want to be one of my people, you need to realize that I have great expectations of those who follow me. Those who follow me will need to take a stand. They will have to take on the responsibility to be people of the resurrection. The people that follow me will have to have some kind of integrity, some kind of self-esteem not built on things, but rather built on a whole internal being constructed by God. They will be willing to submit to God and allow God to direct their lives. After all, Jesus says, what would people gain if they had everything they wanted in the world? Every pair of Gucci shoes, every BMW, every VCR, every portable CD. What if they had everything in the world but did not have a significant covenantal relationship with God? Where would they be? Where would we be? Where would we be, church? As we begin this academic year, it's no wonder that the world seems to be in chaos. It is. But God's great expectations through Christ have not changed. God is still looking for people in the world, people in North America, people in Boston who will be ethical, holy, upright, righteous. People who in their daily interactions with friends and colleagues and peers and ARA workers and professors and the women who clean the bathrooms, people who will treat those people with dignity and with the love of God. God is still looking and has great expectations. God has great expectations of people who have been brought on eagle's wings to a liberating experience called Boston University. Oh, I know some of you don't think it's too liberating. Getting a 3.0 is hard. Finishing a book is hard. Writing one more grant is hard. Trying to get tenure is hard. Getting a promotion is hard. But what an opportunity given by God to us. So many people wish they had this opportunity. So, church, how shall we face this moment? With gratitude and humility, for we're in this place by God's direction, by God's grace, and by God's mercy. How shall we face this moment? With assurance, for we have 9 months of intellectual and moral challenge ahead of us, and we must walk as the people of God. How shall we face this moment? With prayer and with a priestly concern for the world around us that is torn by greed. We should face the world with prayer and a priestly concern since the threat of war hangs over us, temporarily drowning out the cries of hungry women and street people and battered women and broken men. How shall we face this moment? As the daughter of God, I charge you to await this moment with great expectation. Great expectation and joy, for our sovereign God is seeking a covenant with us, a treasured and a chosen people, willing to do God's will. This is the word of our God. Thanks be to God.